Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. I'm down at National Wild Turkey Federation Annual Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm tickled pink. Two old timers.
Old timers.
Philip Vanderpool.
I'm just a sub timer.
Yeah. Woodhaven Custom Calls. I don't know who Ray I'd with. He's with me.
I'm with Cooper.
Old Coop. Old Coop, I call you.
Hey. I on the Outdoors Radio.
I on Outdoors Radio,
yeah.
Exactly.
And podcast.
Listen to him all the time. And Philip, I said on a previous podcast that Ray's show is worth listening to just to hear the introduction.
No, I know. I know, man.
I don't know how he come up with all that.
Glad to get you everywhere.
Elk bugling, you know, wild turkeys, just all kinds of things. But, boy, what a neat, neat show. And, Philip, how long you been associated with Woodhaven?
Gosh, I think now probably about 4 years or so.
That long?
Yeah.
Well, I know you've been in the outdoor industry for a long time, and I guess you're – real forte of shooting big whitetails.
I've probably been pretty blessed on that, and you know, turkeys as well. But for any more, I love taking other people, especially on turkey hunts.
Ray and I've been doing that for a long time. We talked about on a previous show that we actually, I guess, did the first youth deer and turkey
youth hunts in Missouri.
Hunt in Missouri.
Oh wow!
Before it was even legal.
Real?
Kind of caught him off guard.
Oh, he sure did.
Explain that process to him. Right?
Yeah, well, the Missouri Department of Conservation guys wanted to do a test for a youth hunt. So they set it all up. We did it at Peck Ranch down in southern Missouri.
Yeah.
Brought, 10, 12 kids in.
Yeah.
And they monitored, watched what we did, and we set it up and did our hunt, and they loved it. And then they started, and we have youth hunts now in Missouri.
No, that's fantastic, man.
Yeah, and the whole
paving
process.
The way.
Yeah, so interesting because the Missouri legislature actually had to pass very quickly legislation for that to be legal.
Yes.
So we were legal.
Yep, we were legal.
Yeah, we got over it, though.
You got over it?
Nah.
You didn't get under it, but you got over it.
Yeah. Ray's kept me on a straight and narrow all of these years, and boy, we've had some fantastic programs together. And, we've talked about memories, you know.
Oh, you
we're
guys
getting old enough,
much.
You know, that we reminisce a lot.
Yes.
And
you
still,
do that when you're old.
You do.
Yeah. Things have slowed down quite a bit, though. In my camps, we can't get the crew, their outdoor riders, to do naked wind sprints anymore in the morning.
Well, you know, it's that early morning chill.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell something real quick here. We're talking to Philip, of course, and don't want to change the subject much, but this old thing keeps popping in my head. You remember the old schoolhouse I had up in North Missouri at the camp?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've talked about it several times.
We had three or four of these young editors from Outdoor Life, you know, 24, 23, 22 years old. And then we had one from Cabela's, David Draper from Development.
They
were in the back bedroom, right? So me, they're back there sleeping. I didn't get them up yet. So me and two of the guys from Cabela's and a couple of my cohort's working for me. We all got in our tidy whities, our underwear with no shirt on, had the TV on, and we played a VHS tape, Britney Spears workout. So when those guys, the girl went, knocked on the door to get them. When they come out, we were all in the middle of the living room doing workouts with Britney Spears and our tidy whities. And those boys come out of that back room, looked at that crew, turned around, went back in the room, closed the door.
Right.
Hey, he's not. I can vouch for that. He could write a book on the stunts he's pulled at during turkey camp. One of my favorite was Mark, what's his name? Come from Wisconsin or wherever.
Mark Strand?
Mark Strand. All right.
Minnesota boy.
First camp he showed up to, some other seasoned rider was supposed to come and couldn't make it, so he sent Mark. Tell him how you greeted him.
closed the door in his face.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning.
I said, good for you. He said, I'm Mark Strand. Good for you. And I closed the door.
Closed the door in his face.
They stayed. I come back on the door. I said, you still here?
Yeah, I left him out there in the cold for an hour.
He didn't know what to think, did he? Yeah.
He went to the back of his truck and made a bologna sandwich. I said, get out of here, bologna. Eat. But beep, beep, you know.
I got one I want you to tell, and you may have told this 1,000 times.
Oh, it gets
better.
That
one on Alex on the gratuity.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to tell this. Oh, my God.
Okay. I'd love to hear it.
I had Alex up at my place with me, helped me do some work stuff, and girls worked for me. Then we made a bunch of calls, and I took them all out to dinner. We went out to a seafood place to eat dinner, and it was just payday. And we just paid Alex for the work he did that week. And me and Jan, we said, well, Alex, come go with us. We're taking our crew. And anyway, we went to the seafood place and started ordering all this great seafood and stuff and appetizers. And it was like 12 of us, you know. And so she comes to bring the check, you know. And Alex says, I got it. I said, no, Alex. He said, I just got paid. I got it. I said, Alex, this is a lot of people. It's pretty expensive. No, I got it. He takes the bill. He looks at it. And I can't show you on the podcast, but my eyes bugged his eyes. Look, I said, he goes, mister, to the waiter. He said, mister, he says, yes, sir. He said, on this here ticket. He said, see right here? I didn't order no gruity. I didn't eat no gruity. I ain't paying for no gruity.
Gruity.
I said, no, that's gratuity. That's the tip. And I said, why don't you let me get that bill? His eyes was like big as saucers looking at that
I guess
$300 dinner bill.
Well, you do realize they don't have any gruity in Chandler County.
Yeah. Gruity.
Yeah. Oh,
gruity. Alex is going to love us. But, folks, this is the uncensored stuff of the outdoor industry.
Right. It gets no better. Hey, it's real.
It is real. It gets really real sometimes. But, oh, my gosh. See, how many books have you written in your lifetime?
4.
Well, he's got at least one more in him. Stories like this.
One more.
He'd write it, but he's afraid he'll get shot.
Yeah.
I might be the first one to shoot him. But, oh, my gosh. I thought you were talking to Philip. Yeah, I haven't laughed this hard in a while, man. But how many times you sit around a campfire and told stories like this, Phil? Oh,
that's what it's all about. Especially the older I get, I think I get as much out of that as I do the hunt itself.
Yeah.
I really do.
Absolutely. And I've listened to hundreds of his stories, and I swear I don't think I've ever heard the same one twice.
You know, we had this sensor-motivated skull with eyes that flash and stuff. You know, they had them for Halloween.
Yeah.
You go buy them, and they go off and go crazy. We had a couple guys on a media hunt up there, and told them, when you come out after dark, come up the road, don't go to that old well and look in there. I said, There's a haint that lives in there. So we're all up on the road watching. They see the light coming out, and they pause, they turn, and they walk over that well. All of a sudden, you see those lights going real fast. They're running up to the road. And they wouldn't tell anybody what the hell they saw in there. So we took that thing out of there, and I put it in a blind up on the hill. We called Graveyard Hill. Put it on a blind up there for Jerry Betsy from Outdoor Life. He's going to hunt that next morning. So we all got in chairs and were sitting by the barn waiting for him to go in, watching across there. We see the light going across, and he goes in the blind. We seen the flash before we heard the gun. He shot it.
He shot it.
Yeah, he shot it. He was mad.
I can't say as I blame him. Self defense.
Oh gosh.
Oh my goodness.
They also there was an electric fence halfway up that hill, and instead of going around the road, the guy was Mark Nelson from Cabela's is going to go up and go across. So we all set up the lawn chairs. Everybody got him a drink. I'm sitting there waiting for him. And he's looking back and he's like trying to figure out why we're all sitting there. He gets up to the fence and he goes. He looks back and he reaches over. Touches the fence real quick, and then just as he gets a straddle the fence, I give the high sign to turn the fence back on.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised he didn't get anybody to hunt with him.
They don't anymore.
I'm sure. But you used a term that I haven't heard in a while, haints. You know, you're not going to believe I was laying in bed late last night playing with my cell phone like everybody does. You know, I'm old enough, that's all I play with anymore. And I couldn't believe it. I come from the boot hill, Missouri, the swamps and everything. My grandpa Cooper used to talk about wampus cats all day.
Oh, yeah, wampus cats. Yep. I haven't heard
that in a while. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that in a while, and there's a story up about the history of wampus cats in the Appalachians.
Wow. Cool.
Now that I looked that up.
Wow.
I think my grandpa wasn't lying.
I heard that as a kid. Wampus cat.
I hadn't heard that term in forever, just one of those great, great memories, you know, because Grandpa Cooper.
All that kind of stuff's cool. You know, we had that thing we called a monster. We had a bongo drum, drilled a hole in it, put a cord down through it, then rub it with rosin. You'd hold that bongo drum, and you'd pull on that cord, rub that cord. Ooh, with this thing. Man, it made cattle run, stampede. And we put a mini outdoor rider back in a truck with that thing.
I can imagine, man.
I was down in Alabama on a hunt, on a deer hunt, and they had a guy there, and they was talking to him about hearing this thing out there, and I had to leave, and I was wanting to know how the monster worked, you know, because I'd made one for home. Yeah. Anyway, when I saw the guy at the turkey show later on after that last winter. Anyway, I'm talking to him. I said, hey, did that monster work? Did that scare him? He said, did it scare him? He said, we did that monster. Not only did we put him in a truck, he's 43 years old, moved back home, was sleeping at the bed of mom and daddy's bed. Put a mom and daddy's bed.
Oh, gosh.
Somehow or another, I think that's true.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
When we get off of here, I'll tell you the other part of the story.
You sure I want to hear it?
Yeah, it's funny.
My goodness. Like, is there not a book in all this, Philip?
Yeah, right. He's got more books in there. Then you can shake a stick at. I guarantee you.
Oh. Get off here. I got to tell you this one story. But go ahead.
Well, that guy's loud.
Oh, I got the announcer going off now. Ain't
yeah.
We?
Yeah, it'd be a good time to take a break. Hey, folks, don't go away. We're down at Nashville at the National Wild Turkey Federation annual convention. I'm with Philip Vanderpool and Ray Eye the Turkey Spy. We'll be right back.
Yeah, baby.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm Bill Cooper, and again, we're down in Nashville, Tennessee, at the National Wild Turkey Federation Annual Convention. Boy, have I got a pair with me today. Ray Ive, Philip Vanderpool, two big names in the outdoors. If you don't recognize those names, you haven't been in the outdoors. Philip, you're with a wonderful call company, wonderful people. And I was pleased to be inducted in the Legend of the Outdoors National Hall of Fame with one of your cohorts.
Yeah, I tell you, that would be Mike Pentecost. And,
yeah.
You know, he's the owner and CEO, I guess, basically, of Woodhaven Custom Calls. And I've been working with them, I guess, now about 4 years or so. But I tell you, really a great group of guys there. And the highest quality of calls. I'm really, really fortunate to be part of the Woodhaven team.
Oh, I'd say so. Wonderful calls, man. And you guys got a lot going on. And anything new with you? Because you're celebrating an anniversary or something, aren't you?
Yes. This is, since Mike got into the business professionally anyway, this is the 25th year, his 25th year anniversary. And he's made like 25 calls. I sit there. I was down there for about a month shooting a documentary on Mike and the company. And he has made these calls, and I'm doing them all himself. And he's got 25 of them, and they're giving away, when they're purchased, they're giving away a Ghoul's Hunt there and Jay Scott Outdoors there and several of the sponsor partners with it. And then he's got what they call the Working Man calls, which he's made 250. And then they've got a Benelli shotgun with Rob Roberts has decked that thing out, and it's in Mossy Oak Bottomland camo. Just a Vortex red dot. Man, it's set up, and that will give them a chance when they buy the call. Plus, they get a knife, a really nice knife Mike's got, and he signs it and everything.
Wow.
They've got a lot going on. And then they've got the number one call, which is going to be auctioned off at the NWTF. Don't hold me to this, but there was a guy over there said that he brought $30,000 to buy that call,
wow.
That number one call. So,
would you buy that call for me, Ray?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Wow, well, 30 grand.
The 25, they're going for $2,500 a piece over there. And he had 11 of them sold before we got here, I think. It's crazy.
Wow. Well, that speaks well for Woodhaven.
And they are really, really cool the way he designed these things. There'll never be another one like it. It's really, really neat.
Well,
and he's also got a box call that he's putting with that as well that he hand-tuned every – I watched him. Every single one of them has got Mike Pentecost only on them.
Well, you know, he was big-hearted enough. Everybody's inducted in the Legends Hall of Fame this year. He gave us a glass call.
You saw that.
I got one.
I know.
And it's sitting right on the mantle in my living room. And, boy, I'll sit right there in my recliner facing that way, and I look at that call. It makes me think of you guys and thankful for, you know, the stand that you guys take. But I have to ask you, Philip, being involved there, you know, everybody's got their favorite calls. So turkey call, what's your favorite?
My favorite turkey call, you mean like whether it be a mouth call, a box call, or slate?
Yeah, it may even be a model.
I tell you, that's the thing. I don't know that I have a favorite one. It's kind of like fishing lures. I'm going to have a box call, a slate, or a glass call, and two or three mouth calls, you know, and
well,
I've
had the discussion since I've been here this week, you know, in my younger days. Man, you look like he's going to war, you know. You weigh an extra 40 pounds with that turkey vest and all the calls in it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm 75 years old, and I'm a lot wiser than I used to be.
So, well, me too.
So I narrow those calls down, and I still take six or eight, you know.
Yeah.
But, gosh, yeah, you got to have mouth calls. You got to have a Slater glass call.
That's right.
You got to have a good box call. And I'm old-fashioned enough, but I still like one of them goofy old push-button calls. Well,
and you never know. I think Ray can attest to this as much as anybody. You don't know what they're going to buy on that day, so you kind of got to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be your favorite call that you the sound that you feel like you're calling good on, right. But, hey, that old gobbler may have a whole different opinion.
That is exactly right. And I used to have a fabulous farm to hunt on the upper Burbus. It's pretty remote.
Yeah.
And in wintertime back then, there'd be 150 turkeys roost in there. And I messed with them turkeys a lot. I'm surprised I didn't run them out of the country, you know. But I'd go down and I knew. I had one old gobbler one time. I messed with him for a month before turkey season. I'd go down and I'd experiment with my calls. And I had people tell me, you're stupid. You don't need to be calling them birds up. Well, they never pegged me or pinpointed me or anything.
Right.
So I'd call to him with a box call one day. My call to him with a glass call the next day. And I messed with that bird, I know, for a month. I went back opening day and killed him.
It's funny how that works. And there again, I know Ray agree with me on this. You might find that old gobbler, and he's giving you fits there, you know. You may try to be working him earlier that morning or stuff, you know. And the best thing to do if he's not playing the game is back on out, go try to find you another one. And then if you don't find another one, come back to him 2-3 hours later. And a lot of times he's done with the hens, or for whatever reason, now he's ready to play the game.
Excellent point, man. I think so often we try to force the issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly if you're under 30 years old.
Yeah.
Of course, Ray and I always wanted to have that Hollywood gobbler.
Yeah.
You know,
movie star, baby.
Yeah, movie star. You know, it makes your job a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you guys realize, sitting here between us, we've got over 100 years of turkey hunting?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
That's
maybe 150.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that.
Not to change the subject or anything, but I got a message here on the phone it says it's good to see that they lifted the restraining order from Bill Cooper so he can attend the NWTF again this year. People love you, Billy.
Right, the truth hurts, man.
Chance Hollenshad sent that.
Hollenshad. You tell him I'll be in his neck of the woods soon. I'll look him up. Now, with all this experience, and of course, you guys built such a reputation. I don't want to say I'm envious, because I'm not. I'm a lot better looking than you guys.
But, yeah.
Uh-huh. But with the experience that you enjoyed over the decades, comparing turkey hunting to, say, the 70s and 80s and what it is now, are turkeys easier to hunt and kill or harder?
I think we have more knowledge, which obviously makes it better, but if you're asking me how the turkeys call now compared to they did that, what, late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah.
Buddy, back when I first started turkey hunting, we didn't have no competition much. Seemed like if you found a gobbler and he gobbled, usually you're going to see him if you play your game.
Right.
You know,
exactly
play
right.
It right.
Yeah, more people out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The turkeys are more educated, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I learned serious lessons back there when I had all the fabulous place to hunt, and I had three or four places like that. Man, I got thinking I was a pretty good turkey hunter, you know. Never was a good caller. I thought it was till Ray told me I wasn't.
You're still not a good caller. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Is he decent in the woods, though?
Well, hey.
Depends on what he's wearing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I learned a lesson. There's a lot of dumb turkeys out there.
You learned a lesson.
But I must have killed them all, because that's a whole lot of them.
Harder to call them in these days. He said, you think turkey hunting's tough? He said, the reason we done killed all the stupid ones.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's exactly right. But Ray, I don't think I ever told you this story, because it's a shame to tell it, but I'm old enough now, I don't care. But I never turkey hunted, till I was, probably 22 years old.
Yeah.
We didn't have any turkeys in the boot
right.
hill.
Yeah.
And I went to the military and came back superintendent of Merrimack Spring Park, and they had a brand new conservation area there that just wrapped around the park, probably 7,000 acres.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It wasn't even signed yet. So I had that place to myself.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to go turkey hunting. I went to Western Auto and bought one of them old
Western Auto,
and bought one of them one-sided
Lynch
box calls. Yep. All right, yep. I'm going turkey hunt, man. I got my old army clothes on and took off, got me a shotgun, went out in the woods, and the pitch dark. I walked out there about 100 yards, leaned up against a big old black oak tree. I get my flashlight out, reach down my pocket, and pull my Lynch box call out. It's still in the box, wrapped up. I unwrap that thing, I get it out, and I'm reading the instructions. It said, go yep, yep, yep. Set it down and wait 30 minutes.
Yep.
So I go, yep, yep, yep. It sounded awful, you know. Now, man, I didn't know turkey sounded like that. Put that thing in my pocket and sat down with that tree, and I'm watching my watch. And I swear to God, the first scratch I ever made, I got a turkey to gobble. And he was probably a mile away. I sat down, 30 minutes later, I go, yep, yep, yep. He gobbled. I sat there all morning doing that. I didn't move, and the turkey didn't move. I did that for 5 days.
Oh, man.
I thought, man, this turkey hunt's tough.
Oh, my gosh.
You said Western Auto. I remember back in the 70s, Target stores.
Target
sold turkey calls. And wow. The Target in South County had an end cap and a counter display covered in Lynch box calls.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
Sears and Roebuck had Lynch box calls.
Sears and Roebuck.
No and they kid. Had Penswood diaphragm calls.
Wow.
Yes, sir. They had them on display in their sporting good department. And you could order them out of the catalog.
Oh, we loved Sears and Roebuck when I was a kid. You know, we had an outhouse back. There was Sears and Roebuck catalog in there.
Oh, absolutely.
For real.
The weekly wipe.
Yeah. That's about the size of it.
Yeah, this outhouse is like... I got a story time on radio show about the outhouse, but it don't work because nobody knows what an outhouse is anymore.
Young people
don't know what an outhouse is.
I still do. I think I still got...
I think it's a ground blind, probably.
Yeah.
Shooting tower.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, they had a piss pot under the bed in Grandma's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Stuff.
Yep.
We had all the cousins, everybody there, and I really had to go to the bathroom. So Grandma took me out on the back porch. It's raining, thunderstorm, dark. She held a lantern up. He said, you'll have to run now, because I had to go across the backyard, through this little open gate, by the woodshed, and in the lot there is an outhouse. So I took off like hard as I could run right in the side of a black cow.
Oh.
Bounced off and come back, and
Grandma
was just about to collapse laughing, and she's hollering, he thinks he run into the devil. And she goes, well, the good thing is he don't have to go to the bathroom anymore.
Oh, my gosh. I bet that's true. Well, I think I still got frostbit cheeks from sitting on the outhouse seat.
How about the buzzing and the smell in the summer in those places?
Oh, how about the wasp would like to nest up
I
under?
Know. We've all went through that.
Oh, yeah. But I wouldn't trade that legacy for anything, man. Hey, guys, we've lived in some great times. We've seen some great things happen. And then it grand to have lived this long and enjoy those stories. And here we are. I wish we had a campfire. Sitting around telling the stories that we've told 1,000 times, you know, but they never get old.
Nope.
Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Hey, Philip, put in a plug here. How do people get your products?
Well, all they need to do is come by. We're at booth 1401 here at the NWTF here, and we'll be here, you know, through Saturday. And, yeah, be sure and stop by, man. And we've got several things going on over there, you know.
Yep. Yep. But where do they find the products if they're out in the world out there?
Well, I tell you, you know, you can go online to woodhaven.com and order them. But Bass Pro and Cabela's carries all their calls. Most all your big box stores carry the Woodhaven brand now. But, yeah, Shields, I think, you know, and Academy, some of those guys. But Bass Pro and Cabela's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've seen them in those other stores as well. Well, man, what fun it's been. I hate to close a show like this down. But from Philip Vanderpool, Ray I, myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well. I'm Bill Cooper.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.